So we are coming to the end of Revelation, one Revelation 21, and then next month the last one, Revelation 22. And really this is the good news, and we will see how this reflects Genesis, in the sense we come full circle to a restored Eden next month. But right now we see that really this image that's all the way through scripture of Jesus and his bride becoming one and having that breakthrough moment where all evil has been destroyed and judged in Revelation 19 and 18 and 20, and now in 21 we have broken through. Now we've got here a picture of, I think it's actually a betrothal ceremony, but for a Jewish couple, but the process of getting married was different to our process currently. In the Jewish culture of the ancient Near Middle East, there were two distinct parts to the Jewish stages. There was the betrothal and the marriage. After the betrothal, the man and woman were legally bound to each other, even though they were not to consummate their relationship until the wedding ceremony. Only when their betrothal period was over and they celebrated their wedding ceremony did they start their new life together. As betrothal was as legally binding as marriage, either party required a divorce to dissolve it. Typically, the father of the groom and the father of the bride would agree that their son and daughter respectively were to be married, and they would arrange a betrothal ceremony. Unlike today, it's almost like a marriage between families rather than the individual's choice of who they were going to marry. So the groom's family would pay a bride price for the bride, give the bride a gift, which could be a ring, and both parties would drink wine to celebrate. During the betrothal, the husband-to-be would build an extension on the back of his family home for their married life together, and the bride-to-be would prepare herself, particularly her wedding dress. Around a year later, usually after the harvest in the autumn, at a date the father of the groom alone knew, the wedding date would be announced. The bride would be waiting day and night with her lamp ready just in case the groom blew his horn, which in Jewish culture is called a shofar, to announce the wedding at night. And whenever the time came, day or night, the groom would go and collect his bride, and joined by an exuberant wedding party, they would meander back through the village to the groom's house to celebrate their wedding. The couple would consummate their marriage at the beginning of the week, but would continue to celebrate their wedding, often with the whole village, for up to a week. The newly married couple would then start their life together in their new home attached to the groom's father's house. The image of Jesus as the bridegroom pursuing his people, the church as the bride, is woven throughout scripture. From when Adam is laid down in Eden and Eve is formed out of his side, symbolising the church being formed out of the death of Jesus, through right through to John the Baptist describing himself as the friend of the bridegroom who needs to step aside, as in Jesus the bridegroom has come. And in Revelation 21 we feel that sense of relief, joy and breakthrough. The day, the hour, the moment has finally come. Jesus has come to collect his bride and take her to the home he has prepared for her in his father's house. Everything is being made new. The bride is leaving her old temporal life behind and entering into a new whole healed life with Jesus on his newly created united heaven and earth, the place that he and his father have been preparing for her. The old has gone, the new has come. We have looked in our reading of chapter 19 how we are inhabiting this betrothal period. As followers of Jesus, we live in this tension between the now and the not yet. We have been saved through Jesus' death and resurrection. We are being saved, and we finally will be saved when Jesus returns. We have been restored through Jesus' death and resurrection. We are being restored, and we will finally be fully restored when Jesus returns. We have been healed through Jesus' death and resurrection. We are being healed, and we will fully be healed when Jesus returns. By faith, we are bound to Jesus. We would have to actively renounce our relationship with him in order to be released from his faithfulness to us. The Father has paid the bride price through the death of Jesus. We have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, which Paul describes in legal terms as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come, that fullness of intimacy with Jesus. Jesus has returned to his Father to prepare a place, many mansions for us. And after the great autumn of this age, the harvesting to the eternal destiny of every man, woman and child, the trumpet will be sounded, announcing the day, and Jesus will return for us, his bride. For the Jewish reader, though, particularly with the story of the Exodus firmly embedded in their consciousness, this fulfilment is also symbolised by the momentum which has grown throughout Revelation and has particularly come to a climax in chapter 21. Moses confronted and overthrew the 10 gods of Egypt through the 10 plagues. These plagues proved to be the labour pains which climaxed in the birth of the new free nation of Israel in Exodus. This is reiterated in Revelation through the increasing agony of the seven seals, trumpets and bowls, which we've looked at and now finally come to a head at this point, the birth of a whole renewed cosmos, a new heaven and earth itself, a whole new way to be human and to be humanity. All suffering this side of eternity in Christ is as redemptive as the suffering of labour pains that produce a new baby. But equally, all sufferings in Christ are as temporal as the labour pains that produce a new baby. They will not last. The old order of things will pass away. There will be no more tears or crying or mourning or pain, for the whole old toxic diseased way of life itself will die. Only a pure, whole, healthful new life has begun. Breakthrough. Finally at last, the labour pains are over, the new baby has been born. Finally at last, the waiting is over, the bridegroom has come to consummate his marriage with his bride. These two images of consummation and new birth come together in their mutual revelation of purity. There is a staggering level of purity to this bride. She has been purified and has made herself ready in every way. In Moses' tabernacle, the Holy of Holies was a golden cube which the most high priest could only enter once a year on pain of death. Now this bride, the transparent, glorious, radiant city, the New Jerusalem, is an expansive golden cube, her purified faith hosting the very presence of God. He himself is able to live inside her and be her light. Ezekiel's temple was extraordinary in its length and breadth, exactly this size, about the size of Europe or the Roman Empire at the time. She is now fulfilling the proportions of this expansive temple. Jesus compared the kingdom of God to a pearl, symbolically something of extraordinary value formed through suffering. The entrance to this city is 12 purified pearls of extraordinary size. The bride is the garment of the high priest, Jesus. Her foundations are the 12 precious stones worn by the great high priest. She is the fulfillment of the yearnings of the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles, the faith of the Jewish and Gentile people of God throughout the ages. And gold, precious stones and pearls are all forged in the depths of the earth or the sea and forged through fire or grit. So through trials of faith, during her betrothal period, this bride has made herself ready, pure and spotless for this great consummation, this great day, this great feast, this great new everlasting way of life to come. Faithfulness to Jesus is repeatedly described as not having any other focus or affection or devotion in our hearts. Any form of what the writers in the Bible call idolatry is likened to spiritual adultery, literally breaking covenant faithfulness with our husband-to-be. This stunning image at the end of Revelation brings it home to us what our heart posture is to be during our temporal life on earth, waiting for Jesus' return and the consummation of our full union with him. We are to be a faithful and pure bride. We are to be utterly wholehearted in our heart condition towards Jesus. We are to have no other focuses of affection or devotion. We are to crave him, to reorientate our life around him, to prepare ourselves for that day when we will meet him face to face and finally become fully one with him. We are to stand firm in any and every trial of faith, confident that those very trials are sufficient to heal us from all that is broken in our hearts so that we will be fit for him. As a result of this process, we really will be able to enjoy heaven on earth, to live happily ever after.